Okay, folks. Richard?
Just this, this thing about discuss criterion for membership. I'm going to try to postpone it. This is not the crowd to talk about this.
Okay.
So let's do it with civility.
Would you tape a copy to the door too? You won't.
What's that? Why does he keep what?
He fights everybody.
That's the right word for the New York show.
In 2 months.
No.
The membership issue.
Okay, are we on the stream, John? This is the October 1st evening open session of the Pacifica National Board. I'll ask our secretary, Afian Wangaza, to call the roll.
Shram Agnew.
October 2nd.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Andrea Turner. Present. Joseph Gonzala.
Here.
Sean O'Brien. Leslie Radford, Summer Reese, Rico Ross, Bill Crozier.
Here.
George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Present.
Nia Bediako.
Present.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg. Alonzo Brown.
Here.
Campbell Johnson, Kimberly Orendoff,
present.
Marcel Reed,
here.
Jim Bennett and Ifia Wangaza.
Campbell Johnson.
We have a quorum, Mr.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The first item on the agenda is the GM's report from BAI, Bertol Reimer. Bertol, there you are. We have 45 minutes for this. And that includes questions, Bertol, yeah.
5
that?
10 minutes to present. And
great, finish. Great. Bertol, you're addressing the board. Thank you.
How you doing? Ready?
Okay, go ahead, start.
Oh, okay. Good evening. As you probably all know me, or should I introduce myself again?
As you like, Bertel. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Bertel Reimers, Interim General Manager of WBAI. I've been a listener since 1981 and became a member in 2001. Was involved in the Concerned Friend of WBAI, became the first elected chair of the board, local station board, and then now I'm the interim general manager. I'm going to start by introducing the financials, but before I introduce the financials, I just want to remind you that at the last board meeting in Berkeley, I read a letter to you about a listener that was about 70 years old and was complaining about not receiving their Lena Horne package. So since then, we've mailed everything to that listener member, spoke to that listener member, and we have fulfilled all our premium, and you can have your conscience clear on that. So, but that's one listener member. Financial for fiscal year 2010, I gave you the. This is part of your reports, but I'll try to like summarize it. Our actual revenue was about $670,000 less than what we had projected in the budget, and then the majority, about 83% of that, was due to a discrepancy of 7% in the fulfillment rate. So I believe this is the problem we all are facing at all the five Pacifica stations, the fulfillment rate. But our actual expense was actually $50,000 favorable to what we had projected. So our expenses are under control. What that says is for the past couple of years, with the cuts and careful management of expenses and staff, we've most likely met and control our expenses. And so I believe that WBAI and all the Pacifica stations should really focus on revenue. Outstanding payable right now is close to $150,000. Central Service, we owe $383,000, and we're projecting to owe them $500,000. But for the first time last month, we paid Central Service $7,000. We owe 2 months of rent, one month of antenna, 1 month of payroll, and 3 months of health benefits. However, what has been going on at WBAI since we have been focusing on a lot of fulfillment, We've spent close to $10,000 just in mailing premium, mailing reminder to members to renew their membership. So that is significant. $10,000 in less than 7 weeks is a lot of money in postage and mailing. And besides that, we have also found a way to save money in mailing and postage that I will address in a few minutes. A balanced budget has been presented to the WBAI local station board for review. We discussed it once. What I did is I presented a PowerPoint projection and presentation where we wrote down the assumptions, the revenues and expenses, and the differences and increases so that the board could focus on those major items, and then if they had an issue, they could go into more details. I believe the most contentious issue is the assumption that the fulfillment rate is going to have to be 78.3%. Otherwise, we could not meet the budget. Based on projection of what we did last year, which was about 69%, we would have had a budget that would be in the negative by about $250,000. What I did is I did present that budget to the finance committee. I wanted to empower them to make the decisions themselves to figure out what they wanted to do. So after a month, I didn't get too many feedback. It was very difficult. So I adjusted the budget so that we can have a balanced budget presented to the to the board. Membership. For membership, I have some spreadsheet here that will basically break down what we have been doing at BAI. What I decided to do for membership is, I will pass this around, is I think there are some extras. Are there any extras?
Yes.
So, for membership, we do believe that there is a proportional relationship between fulfillment of paid pledge and membership. If we look at the spreadsheet that I passed around, and if we look all the way at the bottom to the right, and you look 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth column, you see 1% was the number of pledge that our members pledged for, paid for, and did not receive. That was for the 2005 year. The next year, it was 2% that we did not send out, members who paid for their pledges. And right now we are at 10%. If you go all the way up, we have 10% of the pledges paid by members expecting their premium outstanding. So when I became the IGM, my intention was to start managing and having policies and procedures, but I realized very quickly that I had to start working, and that would be happening another time, the management part. So we focus on 2,590 pledges made outstanding at the time for 2010, from January 2010 to May 2010, and we reduced it. It's down now to about 900. Actually, it's less than that now. So our goal is to reduce those outstanding pledges, and then we do believe that members will continue to pledge. When we have unfulfilled pledge, and we call the members to follow up, we have two typical responses. One of them is, where's my last pledge that I paid for? And the second one is, my credit card has been canceled. So, yes, the financial downfall of the country is affecting us. And also, second, are not following up on our premium responsibilities also did affect us. We have members calling and in awe telling us that they have received premiums that they paid for a year and a half ago. Is this for real? So I think we're going in the right direction. We have also decided to seek the help of KPFK. Terry Guys, Director of Membership, has been there for over 10 years. And we did lack the expertise. There was turnover, and a lot of institutional memory that we did not keep. So Terry Guy came for 1 week at a very cheap price compared to actually going to the MEMSIS operating system to get help. And so at a very good cost, we were able to get a 1 week of full training. And I would do suggest that any station that do need training follow that path. And After he left, we could see a significant change in operations. We still need improvement. But for the first time in 24 months, we sent about 2,000 letters to members, to lapsed members. We haven't sent lapsed members letters in 2 years, 24 months. The proper recording of various entries in MEMSIS. So that's it for members. No, membership. You can see the staff is more excited, because I do believe that in the premium department, they were overwhelmed and they needed help. So I did actually give probably a good 5 hours a day to the premium department to support them, which means that I had to work late because I had to also manage. So you can see a change in attitude in there. The volunteers are more excited. And I think, you know, we're getting some good vibes in there. What else? So that's basically it for premium and membership. Now, going into major donor, there has not been any comprehensive effort to reach major donors or any major donor for the last 5 years. So therefore, we only collected $60,000 from major donor last year. I mean, that's like pathetic. One major donor could give over $50,000. So what we are going to be doing, which is time-consuming and we have not begun yet, is starting to do research on how to reach out to major donors. So we went on the Internet, many producers, staff, and I, and then we gathered a lot of information on how to start a campaign. Actually, we're going to mix that campaign of major donor with also a capital campaign for the building, which we will talk about later. To actually mount a major donor project is a business plan. We cannot just gather the list of major donors and then call them or reach out to them. You know, there has to be a systematic plan to go after those major donors. I mean, you know, at times I've been told I should have been, you know, contacting the major donors. At this point, I do not believe that is a wise thing to do. You have to have a very comprehensive plan, and I do suggest that we do that. Otherwise, if it fails, then, you know, you never gain those people back. At the national office, we have an executive management team that has agreed, and I am spearheading that movement with a KPFK interim assistant general manager, Jennifer Kaiser. We're putting out a portfolio or a package where we're going to be presenting WBAI or any Pacifica station very professionally so that we can use that package for grants or for major donors. And I believe that it is imperative that we get that done ASAP. Also, Ursula Willenberg is having a little more time now because she's done writing her contracts with the affiliates. She's going to be also working with us, and she did also put some paraphernalia for the affiliates. So we're going to be working very closely and putting this package together. The earlier, the better. And so this package, together with a plan, a business plan to reach out to major donors, I think is going to be significant. For mail and correspondence, well, I mentioned that we have not made any renewals for lapsed members. For direct mail, we have not really had a significant direct mail campaign. We had one last year by a company named ComNet, and it did not work out well. I think we lost $30,000 to $40,000. But they did provide us with a lot of information that we did not use, so we were not ready. We were not operationally ready to take that information and work with it. I have also contacted a mailing company, and since I mentioned to you that we spent over $10,000 in mailing this past seven months, we were able to save about $700 this past month. What it is the company that we're using is a major, a large producer of mailing material. And as we give them the material to mail after we seal them, they will channel them to different zip codes. Which is what the mailing office spends their money on. And as we did that, we were able to save about 47 cents. Well, we save about 67 cents, and then they charge us 20 cents. So we're really saving 47 cents for every piece of mail that below a certain amount. You know, so I think that would be significant, and I'll pass this around to show you the savings. Car donations. Our sister station at KPFK is raising like $8,000 to $12,000 a month in car donations, and we are basically raising well, really not much. We are raising close to $8,000 a year or something like that. So Tony Bates, interim program director, who comes from KPFK, is actually really intent on improving the car donation income. We have not really had too many PSA or ad on the air encouraging people to do car donations. So we are pushing that. We are pushing that very hard. Community events. We've had one or two community events last year, and as it stands right now, we have already projected a community event for November the 8th. Kathy Davis, who was on the PNB, is having a health, you don't like it to be called a health fair. What is it called?
It's part of the WBAI Health Initiative that was formed by Dr. Majid Ali, the host of Science, Health, and Healing. And what we do is we do events inviting the public to come, and the various doctors from the air do lectures and answer questions. And we also sell, stuff that's left over from the premiums. And, it can raise a couple of thousand dollars. So that's coming up.
And can you talk about the Tony Bates event also?
About what?
Tony Bates. The events that we have.
The events that we have. Well, okay. So we had two book fairs, and we're planning another holiday book fair. We have an event called Making Waves, which is about, it's a Broadway musical, also, I believe, brought to the station by Ursula Rudenberg. It was a program developed to go from station to station to affiliates, where it's sort of like theater on the road, and they're authentic Broadway stars like Hal Linden. We're having an event on November 8th, I believe it is, at the New York Society for Ethical Culture. As well, coming up, maybe a little bit later on, might not happen till maybe after the election, but we're going to be continuing the events in partnership with the New York Society for Ethical Culture, called the People's Agenda, in which we're trying to call together the forces that would be the other side of the Tea Party movement, and we're trying to call our president to do what he promised. So those will be happening also.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. For the operation, on the operation side, our interim operations director conducts monthly meetings with the staff and discusses scheduling, equipment maintenance, and various challenges. We are in the process of reevaluating our inventory and assessing our needs. People have a tendency to not want to do that since we have no money, and then they don't understand what's the point. But we do really need to do that to see what we really need. Because as part of the capital campaign and as part of the portfolio and package that we are putting together, our needs in the back of that package is also part of, you know, the promotion package, where we can ask people to donate to, you know, the events or the items of their choice to raise money. We are also initiating, you all came to WBAI and you came to the conference room where we take pledges. We are planning on removing that huge table and putting pliable tables. And if we have time and the ability, we will try to schedule a once-a-month event, a lecture with wine and cheese. So we're trying to raise the intellectual content again of WBAI. And so it's going to be difficult, takes a lot of planning, but once that is set up, we will have lecture there once a month. So now we go into housing. As you know, WBAI's lease is going to expire in December 2012, and we have not yet begun you know, a housing committee, and that is essential. But in the meantime, we have been doing a lot of research. We are in touch with 4 different real estate companies. And since we were short of cash, we also spoke to the people next door to try to see if we could rent them some space to generate income to cover our expenses. But I gave the results of the proposal from that group to our executive director, and I think we both agree that it is not worth the price that they're offering us is not worth it, because it would probably cost us more money to renovate and move our people to other rooms. They were like offering us $2,000 a month for the space. Yeah, it's not worth it. We have about 8,000 square feet, and after the contract is renewed because of the revaluation of real estate in New York, and the contract would incorporate hallways, not only hallways in our floor, but hallways in all the floor and in the main floor, and then that would probably add another couple of square feet to us, and we would end up with 13 square feet. So even if we negotiate a reduction in price per square foot, it's going to be very difficult to really reduce the price, even though real estate in New York has taken a dip. And so we have many different reports that you can pass around to that are evaluating the New York real estate market. We had a real estate agent who came over and presented specifically for us what they project they could do for us and potential savings. They had a projection where our net present value saving might be close to $290,000 or a total of $490,000 cash. But these are all things that we are considering. Negotiation will keep on going. Hopefully, I'll try to set up a meeting between the executive director, CFO, and those real estate agents before they leave on Wednesday. Programming has been one of the most important features that have not been addressed for at least the past 10 years. The interim program director and the public affairs director are fully aware of those. I have regular daily talk with the interim program director about direction we should be taking. Since I've begun, it's very difficult to make changes, to establish, to evaluate, to have a fair look at what's going on and what's going to be effective for us to raise money and to raise the QM. We do know that our QM is low. It has gone down, it's been going down, and so we're going to have to raise that. So we need to not only raise money, but we also need to raise our listenership, because if we do not, that we become insignificant. We have programmers who've been there for a long time, so we need to deal with that. Program council has not been around. We need to reestablish that. We are aware of that. Fund drives, the most important one, fund drives. I want to talk about that a little bit. Fund drives have been geared towards raising money this past couple of years. And we can take a very pristine look at being pure, but we do know that at times there are premiums that are offered that are borderline not acceptable that we have used and that have been very successful in helping us maintain, stay alive. This past 3 drive that we've had some premiums that I have not liked, and without those premiums, we would not have been there today. So we have to be realistic, and we can either be pure and be out of the game, or we can slowly come up with a plan to slowly come out of this situation. This has been built for years. You cannot turn that over, one drive or another. So, we have to realistically say, how do you go from fund drive, which is based on premium. I think at most stations, the fund drives are based on premium. The fund drives will have to go back to fund drive based on support of the program.
Go back to membership drives based on the
people. So, it turned out that the interim program director is here, and I'm going to let him address and I'll make a little presentation. Hi, Tony. Thank you for showing up.
Hi, all. As usual, I don't really have much to say, but luckily, well, I have backup singers. Who knew? Good Lord. I think that actually programming is in a serious state at WBAI and probably throughout the network. My personal observation is that one of our biggest issues is that we have legacy programmers at WBAI who have been on the air for years and years and years and who are programming in much the same way they have over the many years. Indeed, I have never seen anyone... Dude. I don't know of any of the other stations that have this many people who have been on the air for this many years in a row. And what I think that has created is a lack of connection with changing trends in the marketplace, in the audience, in whatever else. And because of that, I think we've lost touch a little bit. And there are a couple of ways to address that that we've been discussing internally. There is also the matter of the ratings. I have seen the ratings recently for our station, and they are abysmal. Frighteningly low. And so to my mind, that means that we have to do something quickly to make changes on the air immediately, or we simply won't continue to exist. We have to change programming around and change some programs and programmers in order for us to begin to be successful. The key there is that you have to have programmers to put into the places. You have to have something that's different, something that's unique. I even think that the model that we're looking at of just a one-hour talk format may need to be addressed in certain segments of the grid. We're doing the same thing that we've been doing since our inception, and if we don't begin to change that, we're not going to draw.
Having a disturbance back there. This person does not belong there.
Would you go to the other side, outside the space of the board, please?
Wow. Anyway, so there are drastic changes that need to be made, and having seen the ratings, I am very much going to take the opportunity to begin to make some of those changes at WBAI and very quickly. They've actually begun already. More backup singers. But the fact of the matter is that it is my belief that a problem at Pacifica, not just at WBAI, is the ubiquity of Democracy Now. Having lost the exclusivity of Democracy Now has changed the way people listen to us, I believe. Because Amy was so popular and she was exclusive to us, the way people listen to radio is they listen to a program and then they will listen to a program that follows and a program that follows because they've found something they like and they hear something else. Now that Amy is available anywhere else, now that Democracy Now! Is available anywhere, people don't have to tune in just to us to hear them. So my assessment is that we need something unique to either WBAI or unique to Pacifica on the level of Democracy Now! That people will tune into. It's something that we need across the network, but definitely for in my purview is WBAI. We need it there most specifically, and we need it quickly. And I don't know that we have that in our sights, but we have some things in our sights that can help us to begin to get to that place, something that people can tune into us, just us, to hear, and something that will also draw a wide audience. And if we don't look at this model across the network again, we're going to go away. We have to take this very seriously. I think that we should have, in the drive time programming slot in the evening, someone to match what Amy's doing in the mornings, and not that she's doing that much anymore. Seeing those ratings... and seeing how low our community programming is, how low the ratings are, I will note that I brought some programs in that I put on that are pretty much matching Amy, you know, neck and neck in terms of ratings. They have a few more people listening to Amy, but the programming that follows in the 9 o'clock hour has the same rating as in terms of the Arbitrons. People are listening to that. So I know that we can begin to build audience with some of the folks that I have in mind and some of the changes that I want to make, but I think that it is all but desperate at this point that we have to change our programming. In some slots, we have 800 people listening an hour. 800 people listening per hour each day. That is not an audience. It doesn't even register on the Arbitrons.
Under your watch.
And so that's, yeah, it's programming that I put on. So all of that has to be addressed and has to be changed, and we will do so pretty quickly. Berthold and I have been talking very seriously about making some changes, and we've, again, begun to do those things. We're looking at shifting the grid around, and we will draw Kathy into those conversations and make some, when we get ready to make some serious changes. But I want to just say to all of us, we cannot be, I think one of the other major problems that we have at Pacifica is we've become a, and I'm stealing this line from someone, but we've become kind of a clubhouse or a club for producers. We're more focused on how to please our producers than we are our audience, and that is a mistake. We have got to find out how to address our audience. This is not a playground for the producers, and we have let that become the situation. And when any one of them is threatened, they gather into a group and circle their wagons around them. But they're not thinking about the bigger picture and about Pacifica and about our audiences. And it's because they won't, it's the responsibility of management to do that. And so I plan very much to do that, to begin to move in those directions. And I hope that other folks at other stations will do the same. We must, Arlene, I believe, have a major name person in the 5 o'clock slot across the grid that can match Amy in order for us to continue to be relevant. We have to find that. And the other thing is this. If something happens to Amy Goodman tomorrow, we're done. She is the only thing that gives us real credibility in the real world. If we lose democracy now, we are lost. So we cannot rely on one program to float the entire network. So we've got to pursue that as a team and figure out who we can get in there to bolster the entire network. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, you heard it, folks. So finally, I'd just like to finish by saying that we have been doing about 120 days of fund drive a year on a regular basis. So we need to address that. So the way we are addressing that is, you know, with the advice of the executive director and things that have happened at other stations, we have decided to start what we call the BAI buddy system. The BAI buddy system is we are encouraging people to donate $10 a month on a regular basis every month for in perpetuity to WBAI and choose a show, their favorite show, so that they can support that show. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the shows to prove to us that, you know, they have a listening. And so at $10, you know, per person giving to WBAI, if we have about 20 buddies per show, we are estimating that would bring us about $780,000 a year, which would reduce our on-air fund drive by one-fifth. So our goal is to continuously reduce on-air fund drive days. And LeVon is passing the BAI buddy package, and I am certain that all 24 board members here are going to sign this, write a check, choose their favorite show, so that WBAI can be way on its way to this. By the way, I'm signed up to this process. We have been set up to EFT, to Chase Bank, and we are ready to move on. Thank you very much. I will take your question.